Hello, everybody. My name is Lat Mackey, and this is Sequence Break IL, a look back at conversations with speedrunners, developers, content creators, and everything in between. And on this one, I'm going to be looking back at a conversation I was fortunate enough to have with somebody I kind of consider like a legend in the speedrunning community, and that is Dram55. And the conversation took place for a show that I used to host for the GDQ Hotfix called Games Done Classic. And I wanted to talk about Games Done Classic for just a second, because it's kind of an interesting experience to host a show on the GDQ channel, you know, probably one of the biggest speedrunning channels, especially with the charity marathons and events that they host. And I'm very fortunate and really enjoyed doing that show on the channel. If you follow any of the GDQ Hotfix content, and as of August 2022, it's hosted by a bunch of awesome people, and many awesome people have come and gone who have hosted shows on the channel. And it's kind of an interesting place to host speedrunning content. I think before the Hotfix came around, my memory is a little bit foggy, so I have no insider knowledge. I wasn't working for any of the GDQ stuff at that point, or volunteering, or any of this stuff like that. And I remember, you know, I can't remember around what year it was, but there was this great channel that hosted these great events that became like the Super Bowl of our community. And then it would just kind of go dark in between events. And so I remember when the Hotfix came around, and as seeing it grow and grow and grow and develop into more type of things, it's pretty cool to see what it's doing now and what it can continues to experiment with. Because as many of you probably know, or maybe you don't know, there are shows that come and go off of the channel. And mine was one of those. And they had experimented with a podcast type of show before, and it's a challenge to have a show on the channel with, you know, where people come to see speedruns, you know, and so to try to find an audience that is just people talking becomes a bit more of a challenge instead of actually seeing people speedrun. So that was, you know, that was one of the things why the show is no longer around. And thankfully I got a good year on there, and first of all, like, got to interact with just a bunch of awesome people, but also got to have conversations like this one with Dram55. And if you're not familiar with Dram55 and his speedrunning, I got his profile up here. The last time that he submitted a run, he did actually run. That's right. He was doing Metroid Dread, Any%. But before that was like 4 years ago, running Mario Odyssey. But way back then, so his first run, at least according to SRC, and I'm guessing he was submitting stuff even before then, was 10 years ago. And that was a lot of Super Mario World stuff and Kaizo Super Mario World. Like, for a lot of us, he was one of the first people we saw do some of these, what looked like impossible Kaizo Super Mario World hacks at the time, and got a lot of us into that kind of stuff. It's interesting because we do talk a little bit about Speedruns Lives and Speed Demo Archives and all of these tools that, you know, were around before SRC even existed. And so it's kind of fun to relive the past. One of the things that's always been important to me and continues to be important to me, in fact, in just a couple episodes on the podcast, Bismuth is going to be joining. And Bismuth's first speedruns, I think, were about 8 or 9 years ago, where I love tracking and chatting and finding out about what speedrunning was like before Twitch existed, before GDQ existed, you know, before all the community became what it is today. And, you know, the community is still continuing to grow. In fact, it's another conversation we'll have with Bismuth about this. So I think it's great to hear it from his perspective and his side of things, and why he did some of his speedrunning, and just kind of some of his motivation. And, you know, it just kind of interesting to see where, you know, where the life takes you. And little did you know, maybe, you know, this crazy, hard, tough Kaizo Super Mario World game was going to inspire the next generation of, you know, Kaizo Mario players. I should just say Mario players in general, because the Mario community has grown so dramatically. I shouldn't say drastically since he first started running. So it was a conversation I felt super fortunate to have, and I'm glad that he said yes and to join. And I'm glad I get the chance to reshare it with you. If you enjoy the conversation. I'm going to leave a link to the actual Games Done Classic episode, which will also include Grand Pooh Bear and Mitch Flowerpower join the podcast. Oh, and Pangea Panga also joined the podcast a little bit later on that episode. So a lot of great conversations that I'll probably end up sharing here as IL. So just stay tuned, and I'm sure the feed at some point it'll get shared. But this is simply a Dram 55. I hope you enjoy as much as I did. Here we go. So what we're going to do, if you've never seen the show, I'm going to play the video. We're going to start watching the run, and we're just going to chat about all the things that led up to it, what's happening. As you can imagine, there have been multiple iterations of the speed run and up to this point, but this was way back in 2015. So I'm going to start playing the video. And Dram, first of all, tell us, what was the Kaizo community or the fan-made community like at this point? I mean, were there a lot of different fan-made games, or were people speedrunning? What was it like back in 2015?
So there's a really strong ROM hack scene, but I don't really recall if there was much of a Kaizo scene yet. There was pit hacks, but they were all meant to be played through tasks, not actual, you know, in a real-time setting, at least not a speedrun setting. And the first time I actually saw someone for real do it was in 2012, or late 2012, I saw Jeff W356 just playing through Kaizo with splits on the left side of his screen. And I was like, is this real? And sure enough, it was. So that was kind of he was the first person I ever saw speedrun a Kaizo hack for real. So he was for sure like my inspiration. And I guess if there was a scene at the time, it was just Jeff W alone by himself. And then I joined.
How long had you been speedrunning up to this point? Because first of all, just amazing to get through this game, but then secondly, to actually consider speedrunning it. What was your speedrunning experience up to this point?
Yeah, I had played just normal Super Mario World for, I guess I started in 2011 when Speedruns Live was in its inception. And I did that for a couple of years, and then in 2012, we had an online marathon called Number SMW, and at that marathon, me and my buddy Minion actually decided to speedrun the first two levels of this ROM hack. I'm not going to lie, I forgot what the question was.
No, I'm just curious, how long had you been speedrunning like up to this point? Because, you know, thinking back, now we know games and quick, we reach a lot of people and all these kind of things. But back in 2015, I'm not sure like how many people were speedrunning back then, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a scene. I mean, I started in 2011, so I guess it would have been like 3 or 4 years. And I think I had to look it up yesterday. Yeah, in like early 2014 is when I started speedrunning Kaizo.
There was already a fair amount of questions in the chat as we're watching about who's on your couch and what's it like to see yourself 2015 version of you.
it's weird. Look at I was just saying before, right? Like how young we all look. I definitely felt a bit old when some of the stuff I was looking up was literally almost 10 years ago, you know, in terms of when I started speedrunning and the Number SMW marathon. But yeah, it's crazy looking at the couch and seeing everyone.
Who is there on your couch?
Yeah, it's Atari, Carl, and Lambie over on, I guess, my left from our perspective, his right.
It's very cool. One of the things, so I started watching GDQs live around 14, 15, and obviously the room has grown. During that time, it looks pretty intimate. Did it feel that way when you're doing your run as well?
Yeah, this year was actually it might have been the last time they had done it like this, but they had the large, the audience set up on the other side of the room. So you couldn't, and you were in this intimate setup. So you still kind of got the power of the crowd. I could hear it. But yeah, it was nice. It was almost like you're just kind of chilling with your friends, you know, in the living room, playing through the game. I did like that. Although, I mean, when you're up there, it's always intimate, no matter, I mean, you don't see what's behind you, right?
When you were grinding the games in Super Mario World and Kaizo Mario and all these different types of games, did you do any of tasking on your own, or like how did you discover some of the strats or learn how to play games at this level?
A lot of free time. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a lot of free time. And again, I probably would have never thought to do it myself if I hadn't seen him do it. I just wouldn't have ever thought it was possible. So yeah, pretty much those two things, inspiration and time, and a little bit of drive. Yeah. led to this.
Have you returned to the game since? Do you ever revisit any of your speed runs or anything like this?
You mean in terms of watching them or like
playing? Have you played the game? Like, have you ever given it another run?
No. This run. Well, actually, it was practicing for this GDQ. I had a pretty good run of this game that I'm proud of. I would never have any reason to go back to beat it. And actually, Calco, he's a beast. He beat it a few years back. And and I'm even so, I'm still really proud of the run I did for this game. So if I was to ever go back to anything, I guess it would be Kaizo 2. Or to be honest, there's probably much better Kaizo games out there now that I should check out. So yeah, I haven't really gone back too much since 2016, I guess.
As somebody who's now, I mean, basically been around the community for a decade, did you have any idea that it would grow into what we see now with Mario? I mean, Mario Maker, all of the fan-made games. There's this wonderful, large Mario community nowadays.
No, not at all. And it's worth pointing out, so this run is January 2015. Mario Maker came out this year, but in September. So this was kind of, I guess, before that. And between Mario Maker and then the really, really great ROM hack scene. Yeah, it's pretty crazy what it's turned into now. I probably would have never expected it, but I don't know. I never really thought like that. I was more just, hey, I'm having fun. I want to play this game. So I wasn't thinking like, what's this community going to grow into? I just don't think that way, I guess.
Thanks everyone for listening and watching. If you're enjoying the podcast, please feel free, subscribe, like, leave a comment, all that stuff people say at the end of a video. It honestly all goes a long way to help the podcast. Thank you so much. If you want to join us on Discord, we chat mostly about food, but occasionally we do talk about the stuff that's in the podcast. The link is in the show notes or in the description. Feel free. Come on by, join us. If you want to follow on Twitter, SequenceBreakPC. SequenceBreakPC. I post when I go live. It's kind of not at a set time. So if you want to see the live feed of the podcast, feel free, follow there. And finally, if you want to email podcast@sequencebreakpodcast.com. Sequencebreakpodcast.com is also where you can find the backlog of all of the episodes. It's also on YouTube as well. So feel free, join in, have some fun. Thank you so much. I will see you in the next one.